Park Studios, Session 1. Mark Haugen, DJ. Welcome to Episode 4. My guest today is Kyle Torfin, the world's greatest superfan. And not only is he the world's greatest superfan, but the greatest superfan for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kyle Torfin.
Let's go.
I can't believe it's Super Bowl 55. Let's go.
All the way, man.
Dude.
How about that?
How about the timing?
Serendipity is what it is. Super Bowl homeboy.
This is so great, dude. Super Bowl 55 is right here, right now. What's your take on this whole deal? How did this happen?
You know, I'll be honest, there's some conflict because Tom Brady, right? The scandal, cheating. But I'm sort of expecting them to lose, though, I got to say. Mahomes is the artist.
Yes.
And Brady is the engineer.
Exactly. I think it's a close game.
Here's what I honestly think is going to happen. I think one of the two teams is going to get up with a pretty substantial lead, and there's probably going to be a flurry at the end.
Right.
But I just have a feeling they're going to lose. I think KC's too good.
Let's throw it back in time. Now, this predates what we're going to focus on for most of this show, but you were a part. I mean, you go way back to as a kid in the 80s. Where did that come from? Because there was nobody in Minnesota. Nobody. I didn't know a single person that cared a dang about the Bucks. It was you.
It's the most ridiculous story, and yet I love it. My dad borrowed my grandparents' color television when they went down to Arizona for the winter. And he turned it on, and Tampa Bay was playing the Vikes. And I saw for the first time the orange uniforms. And I said, Dad, oh, my word. Oh, you know, orange was my favorite color, still is.
Yes.
And I said, Dad, who is that team? I was maybe 5, 6, who knows? He said, that's Tampa Bay. They're terrible. Ah, oh, they're just awful. No one likes them. And as a little kid, I felt bad for this team that was in this awesome orange uniform. And I just started following. Doug Williams, Kevin House, Jimmy Giles, Ricky Bell, all these old school 80s, 70s, and 80s guys, and just kept with it all my life.
And then 2002, the 2002-2003 season happens.
I'm living in Plymouth at the time. I'm watching the game against Philly. Brad Johnson, first ballot Hall of Famer. They go to Philly in January. It's just the worst place you want to play. Tampa, they're a warm team, and I'm watching the game nervous. They go ahead.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Rondé Barber catches that interception in the fourth quarter, and I go ballistic. I am so excited because this is my first dream, really, as a person. Like, as a little kid, your first dream
right.
is to see your team get to the championship. And it happened. I ran around the house. Oh, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Oh, man, could not have been more excited.
You know, that's the first dream that happens. But then the real dream is, hey, what would it be like to be in the stadium with your dream team?
Yeah. So I was just thinking, can I at least go to San Diego and just be in the city?
Right.
Not even go to the game, but just be in the city around the atmosphere. That's what I wanted to do.
Right.
Then I got a call and I got a gift. You know what? You're going to the Super Bowl. I'm buying you plane tickets. You're going to the game. I'm like, why? Wait, hold on. You gotta be kidding me. Yeah. And it happened. It was a dream. It was an absolute dream. It was incredible. It was just laid out before me and I loved it. Every minute of it.
Wow. That's so cool. Dovetailing off that, Kyle, I've had a revelation recently. I've realized I'm not getting any younger, but I'm not getting any older either. I'm still a kid inside. So fast forward to where we reconnected up. It was the end of 2011, beginning of 2012. Get this crazy idea to start a rowdy fan section at the Timberwolves games in Section 121. We called it Los Locos.
Yeah, I remember getting the call from you, Mark. You said, hey, I got this idea. And we called, and I was like, dude, that sounds like a crazy idea. I'm in. Let's do it. If I can be there, I'll be at as many games as I can. I just thought it sounded so cool to have a local team that because at that time you went to Target Center and it was just dead.
It was so dead.
In there. The team was barely watchable, you know? So I just remember it being such a fun time and it was infectious and it added electricity to the arena. It was fun. It was
absolutely
a fun winter.
Yeah, it was. And that's what happens up here in Minnesota is we have this long winter thing going on. In fact, to be honest with you, right now, we're about to hit the cold part of the winter, and I'm thankful that I got this sort of lightning bolt
This started in part because, in the first episode, because of your text with the picture from the beret night on January 1. It just, I saw that and I'm like, God, those were good memories. Jeez, that was the greatest stretch of 12 weeks that I can remember. The electricity, there was something missing, and it's happened in this, where we are in 2020. There's a loss of something to look forward to. And every night, what I loved about Los Locos was there was a new theme. There was a new game. There was something to get going, get you jacked up. And the possibility that, hey, you know, we're actually getting better. They weren't terrible. Yeah. They were fun to watch, and they were in most games. And I just loved it.
I remember, too, some of the outfits that you picked. The ones that I didn't think would be hits with the fans and the other, you know, the teams and everything, you know, like Lab Code Night. That was such a huge hit. And I was like, why? Why would who cares? It's fun. I mean, it's working. So, yeah, that was a blast.
The Lab Codes. Oh, then we did a toga party night a couple different nights. And then my favorite, I mean, there's so many different memories. And I was planning on, we'll play when we come back out of this section, we'll play a theme song, because actually my record of the year before we get too far down this is actually in 2012 was my favorite Jack White's Blunderbuss. It's just electric, crunchy guitars, great melodies, and of course the big chant for us that season was the which is White Stripes. So yep. And that was just killer.
That was great.
And of course, Ricky, I was trying to find actually a track with the Olays, but when Ricky would get it going, because he was doing the ridiculous passes and the fast break we had going, when we would make a run and just the Olays, dude, and everybody jumping up and down, it was just so, that was fun, man. Yeah, that was a crazy time. And of course, Los Locos, the crazies, that's what we were. So the favorite week, there was that week in March. It was the first time, I think, that year that ESPN was coming in on a Monday night to broadcast this game. This is national TV. We were like, we got to have something. And so Chris Herrmann, God bless that man, he said, you know what, I got it. I'll be Speedo Man. And I was like, okay, how are you going to do this? So we just set it up, first free throw, second quarter. We're hiding around, and he pops up for that first free throw, and it was Blake Griffin. And I'll never forget it for the life of me. My heart is beating so fast. He's up there on top, just jiggle-liggle-liggle, and Blake, wouldn't you know, clanks that free throw. He makes the second, but the descending upon us by the security team was insane. And
I was laughing and scared at the same time.
I thought it's over. I was like, yeah. my career, my life, we risked it all for this national TV moment. And dude, I've got the picture. Joanne Reed, she grabbed that picture, and I still have it in my favorites of just remembering that electricity. But then when we came back, they let us back in, or let me back. I don't know if Chris actually came back. Maybe he did.
I think he got let out.
That's right. He got let out. So he took one for the team, and God bless him. And at the end, I remember this in the fourth quarter. I was like, dude, wouldn't it be something if that was it? And sure enough, the Wolves win 94-93. And you better believe that was Speedo Man, the hero.
That was it. That win is on Chris Herrmann.
I wanted to dedicate this episode, honestly, about the crazy part of life that we got to do this thing, and it was incredible for that run. The guy I wanted to dedicate this thing to is John Castillo. He gave us something, not just something. He gave us a piece of what we were missing. Because at the beginning, I was hitting pots and pans and just things like this. And he comes along with these two sticks. They're like foam sticks, but they're not the air sticks. They're like hard whacker clappers. He brings those in, gives them to all of us in the blue colors, Timberwolves blue. And man, it just changed the whole game, because we could make even more noise than we already were making with our voices. And it just galvanized us. And so I dedicate this episode to him, because this fall I got the news from his daughter that he had passed, kind of with complications of COVID, and went to the memorial. And it was just tough to see, because he was a super fan. And he cared deeply about this. And I don't even know if he really made anything out of that, but he really, really helped us become even better than we were back then. And so, John, you're a special man. If you can hear this, we miss you. And thank you for your service, not only to our thing, but to the Vikings and to all the sports teams that you supported.
Mark, I think what you did is you drew people in like John. I didn't know him terribly well, but I got to know him because of Los Locos. And he was the kind of person that you just attracted to that effort to make Target Center fun. In the little time that I got to know him, he was the kind of guy that you'd want to just call up and say, hey, man, I haven't talked to you in a while. Let's get together. And you could just pick up right where you left off. Let's go. Oh, man. Where's my lab coat?
No, let's get the lab coats.
Let's go.